Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day or day of the week it is that you're tuning into this episode of the No BS Bishop, Alive to Love, All Lesser Values Than Love or Potential BS. I am Bishop Randy Dean. Always a pleasure to be here, to share my thoughts with you, to open myself up, to open myself up to the possibility of criticism, because there's no valuable truth on earth to be shared that will not invite some level of criticism. Some of it's fair, and a lot of it's just cheap shots. So I'm willing to take that risk, not because I am, masochistic, but because I have a message of heart. I have lived my whole life with a message of heart. I'm a preacher. I started preaching before I should have been preaching. I was about 17 when somebody asked me to get up in a pulpit and talk. Scared me to death. I did it anyway, and I've been scared to death ever since, but I do it anyway. And I love sharing a message from the heart. You know, if you speak from your heart, you'll reach a heart. So that's what I've always attempted to do. I haven't done it perfectly, but I have done it with intentionality for all my adult life. This radio broadcast is about one subject, and it has been for almost 2 years now. I suspect if I do this for 20 years, I'll still be talking about one subject, love. In the old movie City Slickers, the cowboy that taught his muse what it was to live life well, he said, he held up one finger. I won't quote him exactly because he said something I can't say on radio, but he said it's about one thing. Life is usually just that, isn't it? It's about one thing. And being able to narrow life down to one thing and let that be your North Star, let that be your nucleus, let that be the earth, let the moon circle around, let it be the sun that all the planets orbit. But we have to learn, I believe, the greatest value of all human existence is love. There's no higher value than love. I know people might argue that, and they can argue all they want to with me, because I'm not going to turn away from the value of love, to which I have said and said and said, I'm alive to love. All lesser values are potential BS. Real love, honest love, authentic love, is the unmitigated gall to step up to life and say, I'm going to love every centimeter of it. I'm going to love every grain of sand, every leaf, every tree, every bug, every bugging person. I'm going to love it all, because life is about the adventure of love. And that really takes me to my subject for today. It is the unmitigated gall, the lover's leap, and the courage of love. The unmitigated gall, the lover's leap, and the courage of love. You all know what an unmitigated gall is, don't you? It's that that chutzpah in another term. It's that willingness to just say it out loud, to put it right out there, to have no mitigation, to refuse to mitigate, or to pull it back, or to compromise it, or to hold it in, or to put your thumb on the end of the water, the water hose, and try to slow down the water coming out. No, not mitigated, unmitigated. Just let her fly. Let it fly. Let the unmitigated gall of love be the draw of what we do and what we say and how we behave and where we go and who we talk to and how we talk to people. How we listen is more important than talking, by the way. It is that courage that I'll get to in a minute. The courage of love. The unmitigated gall, the lover's leap, and the courage of love. So, the unmitigated gall, that decision somewhere along the way, and maybe multiple decisions that accumulate into a decision, The unmitigated gall is an accumulation of decisions leading to the decision that this is the way I'm going to live my life. I'm going to live it in love alone. I promise you, as I said last week, there will be pain and there will be grief in the middle of love. You can't love without some degree of pain because love is not always well received. If you live in rejected love, then welcome to the majesty of God. God has decided that He loves and will continue to love and will continue to love with unmitigated gall throughout all eternity, no matter who rejects His love, no matter how it's rejected, no matter the cursing and the blasphemy that comes toward God. He has chosen love. Now, well, you know, I better change that. God is love. He doesn't choose it. He doesn't wake up in the morning. Of course, God doesn't sleep. But if he were to sleep, he doesn't get up and say, all right, I guess today I will choose love. He can't choose love. He is love. It's not a choice for God. It's the character, the essence, the DNA, if you will, of the divine deity, the divine master of all the universe is love. And so it isn't mitigated. It isn't held back. It isn't diluted or compromised. It is a channel of continual love. Now for us, we're being invited to be like God. He who dwells in God dwells in love. He who dwells in love dwells in God. That's right out of 1 John in the New Testament of the Bible. God is love, and he who dwells in God dwells in love. He who dwells in love dwells in God. See, lovers dwell in God even if they don't believe in God. I want you to hear that. People who have decided that their life will be about love, even if they've somehow or another proclaimed themselves to be agnostic or atheist, they have found God if they've found love. And I believe that the lover who doesn't believe in God will land somewhere in their life along the way. That lover will land in the arms of God and know that this is the character, the essence, the beauty, the significance of real love. I'm a great fan of an author and speaker by the name of Brené Brown. I know many of you have heard that name before. She was a statistician that went into a study about vulnerability because she found herself struggling with being vulnerable, being her honest self. And in her struggle to be her honest self, in her struggle to find the courage to be herself, she, as a statistician, I think maybe sociology was a part of her studies as well, she discovered that there was something about the power of love that was inherent to vulnerability. And so she went from just raw statistics to something of a philosopher, almost a theologian. She is a magnificent, magnificent lecturer and author. Any of her books, I recommend them all. But one of her quotes that really sticks with me, holds with me, is this. Here's Brené Brown. No matter what gets done and how much is left undone, I am enough. It's going to bed at night thinking, yes, I am imperfect and vulnerable, and sometimes I'm afraid. But that doesn't change the truth that I am also brave and worthy of love and belonging. Oh, man, that fires my cylinders. No matter what gets done or left undone, I'm enough. And what I've done today, I did my best because I did it in love. And I'm worthy of love because I have given love. Now, listen to that. Listen to that. Hold on to that. The unmitigated gall to say, hey, I'm worthy of love. Why? Because I have loved. I've put myself out there in a brave and courageous attempt to love. Now, that takes me to the second part of what I gave in the introduction, that there is the unmitigated gall to say, I'm a lover, and yes, I'm going to love all the days of my life. But that requires, the second part is, a lover's leap. A lover's leap. Maybe this is more akin to my own generation. There were places where young people went, and it was a little parking place where in my high school days, we called it go watch the submarine races. And it was a great view, a place to sit by the lakeside or look out over a valley. And it was often called Lover's Leap. Well, for me, Lover's Leap is the decision process. Lover's Leap is that unmitigated gall to keep making that decision every day. Lover's Leap is about that passion that I am not going to live for lesser values. I'm going to keep leaping into the arms of love. I'm going to keep leaping toward the power of love. I'm not going to give up on love, even though there may be days when I'm going to say, okay, I'm tired right now, and I'm going to give myself a little bit of a retreat. And that's okay. That's all right, because sometimes a strategic retreat will give you the power to advance the next day. I believe in Lover's Leap. I believe more in Lover's Leap than I do in falling in love. Now, I want you to hear that carefully. I'm not against falling in love. I just think it's a weak idea of how to describe love, because it seems to me like, well, you know, some days I wake up and then suddenly, without any excitement or purpose on my part, I just fell in love. That's not adequate for me. And again, I'm not opposed to it, and I've probably used the term, and I've probably discussed it here before, but I do believe it's more than falling in love. It's leaping into love. It's again, finding the courage to go forward in life with love alone. Finding in yourself the day-by-day, the moment-by-moment decision to love. And I can best illustrate that by talking about forgiveness. There's no way to talk about love, but what you're going to have to talk about forgiveness. You see, I hear people regularly. I'm a pastor, and I've spent multiple days and hours in counseling sessions. And I've heard people say often, what happened to me is unforgivable. I cannot forgive it. What I have learned is that people aren't saying that the act itself was the potential of unforgiveness. What I hear them saying, and I've learned to hear them saying, is I am not going to be able to forgive that act. Because I do believe all things are forgivable. Now hear that carefully. All things are forgivable. It doesn't mean that when I forgive, I make the act right. I can't change the abuse of an abuser, but I can forgive the abuser and keep my own sanity while they may go on about their own abuse, their own behaviors. My forgiveness doesn't change them. My forgiveness changes me. It evicts the abuser from my emotions and my heart so that they're not getting free rent on the inside of me. I forgive not to make them right, but to keep me right so that I can move forward and, you got it, walk forward in the unmitigated gall of the Lover's Leap. I'm going to love the abuser, even though I may have to create a strong boundary. My boundary may be irreversible, seriously. But just because I have a strong and fortified boundary doesn't mean I am unforgiving. It just means I have loved them enough, and I'm loving myself enough to refuse to be subjected to the abuse anymore, to allow the abuser just to be set free from having to use me as their punching bag. And it sets me free from the constant aggravation of their abuse. Now, the reason I bring this up is that forgiveness isn't just a one-time act that after I let it settle, the abuse settle for a while, then I'll forgive. No, forgiveness is a day-by-day, by-minute choice. It is to choose to forgive. I sometimes tell people, you can forgive somebody, but you won't forget. And when you do remember, just keep forgiving, keep forgiving, keep forgiving. Keep forgiving. You may have to forgive 1,000 times a day. You may have to forgive somebody 10 times in a minute. When the memory comes back and you have the need for vengeance, then forgiveness is still a choice to be made. Forgiveness is remembering without the need for vengeance. True forgiveness, when it's done its job in your life, is being able to remember and then not require without the requirement of vengeance. There's no such thing as forgive and forget. No such thing. I'm a human being. I don't have a computer, up in my skull. I have an organism called a brain. It is a brain of life and blood and nerves and tissue. And that brain does not have a hard drive like a computer. That brain is very human. It's very organic. And it holds memories much, much longer than I want, but they're there. So what I have to do is, when my memory goes back to the abuse, is to forgive often enough so that when the memory comes back, I have forgiven in a thorough way when I do not require vengeance for the memory. Now, all of that is to be said that I believe that's how love best works. Love will work best when we have moment by moment, day by day, chosen to love. We choose love along the way. And that becomes the lover's leap. That becomes the leap. And, you know, some for one person, a leap is a high jump. For another person, a leap is just a skip across the crack in the sidewalk. Don't step on that crack or break your mother's back. What was the old kid saying? Just don't step on that crack. That's just that may be your leap today. Just make sure that you're leaping forward, making steps, making progress, baby steps at a time, sometimes giant steps, maybe in an entire 6-foot leap. Whatever the case, love is a day by day, moment by moment choice. So today I've talked about the unmitigated gall of love and the lover's leap, but I want to wrap it up with the courage to love. The courage to love, it requires a bravery that is, quite frankly, uncommon. It is uncommon to love in the thorough sense that I keep talking about here week in and week out. There is a courage to love that is a required element of how love truly functions best. Now, let me break the word courage down for a moment, because it's probably not at all, entirely, I should say, what we may think. The Latin root word for courage is cor, C-O-U-R, which is a reference to the human heart. So from the heart, we do brave things. Bravery is not often a calculated item, and though it can be. It isn't often, though. Bravery is usually on the spur of the moment. Courage to love happens because we operate from the heart, and the heart will do things the mind says, what are we doing now? The heart will do stuff that your mind will argue with all day long. The courage to love, that sense that if I'm going to live a quality life, then my life must be a life of courage, a life that is lived in a brave sense, that I cannot give up on the best values of life, because if I give up on the best values of life, then I've given up on the best for me. You see, to be courageous is in some part selfish. To be courageous is in some part is a part of self-preservation. To be courageous is to have the courage of life, to be as positive, forthright, to have that unmitigated gall, to take that lover's leap. To be courageous is really somewhat selfish, because you and I both know that if we are cowardice, if we move away from our heart, remember I told you the Latin term for courage is heart. If we move away from our heart and we act out of just calculations, we act out of only formulas, we know that we'll end up adding things up and saying, I don't feel like it. I don't want to. I don't have enough. Oh, I'm always short. A dollar short and a day late. If we don't act in courage, we look back at life with regret. And who does regret really affect? Who does regret hurt? How does regret really cause harm? It causes harm to us, to me. At the end of the day, if I have regrets, I'm hurting me. I've hurt me. So to be courageous is really, at some level, not entirely, but at some level, it's selfish, because I'm taking good care of how I finish my day. Because if I'm to act out of my heart, if I'm to act out of the lover's leap and the unmitigated gall to love, if I'm to act that way, then I am able then at the end of the day, however exhausted I may be, however many mistakes I may have made, no matter who I bested and who got the best of me, if I've had courage, if I moved from my heart, then I can put my head on the pillow at night and say, all right, Randy, you did all you could. You did your best because you acted from the heart, not just from the head, not just from reasoning, not just from calculation, not just from formula. While all of those things have their place, but today I acted in courage. And the courageous act of love kept me going forward. You know, I am very aware of how love will put you in dangerous places. Love will cause you to say some things that you will wish, hoo-wee, I wish I had just kept my mouth shut. Love will press you toward adventures that, you know, after the adventure is done, you'll look back and laugh at yourself and think, wow, that sure was a lover's leap. But isn't that what life is about anyway? Isn't life more about the adventures we've taken that put us at risk? And isn't love really the greatest reason for risk? To risk to love is to put your heart before you and follow your heart. Some people say, well, he just lives his life with his heart on his sleeve. You know, I guess I'm guilty. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I wear it out there for everybody to see. And I've often had people say, you just put your heart out there too much. So that's why a few minutes ago I said, yeah, I understand. There's a lot of pain involved with love. I understand it because I will always live my life with my heart right out there for everybody to see. And when people see your heart, they will many, 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 many times, more often than not, they will grab and say, oh, I want to love like he loves. I want to love like she loves. I want to love life. I want to love people. I want to love activities. I want to love my cooking, my art. I want to love my writing. I want to love my business. I want to love my accounting firm the way they love what they do. You will always have most people wishing they could love like you, but you will also have many people who, because of the unfortunate cowardice of their life, because they've lived their life with a pile of regrets rather than conquering those regrets with the courage of love. And they will find themselves jealous of your heart. And they will oftentimes, not many, but a few, and it doesn't take many, they will oftentimes attack your heart. When your heart has been attacked and when you've found yourself living the courage of love and finding that courage being punished rather than rewarded, it is so important, and this is how I want to close today. It is so important to love yourself. Because when no one else is loving you, now before I finish that statement, God is love. And the only way God views you and me is by love. The only way God responds and reacts to us is in love. But beside God, in the human context, when no one else will love you or when you are not aware of anyone else's love, you and I need to be able to have the courage to say to ourselves, I love you. I love you, you pile of risk, you great unmitigated gall giver, you lover's leaper, you, I love you. I love you for all your failings. I love you for all your frailties. I love you for all your idiosyncrasies. I love you for your bruises. I love you for your cuts. I love you for your brokenness. But I love you. And to be able to love yourself will train you to love your enemies. It will train you to love others. See, I don't carry any greater enemy in my life than my own internal dialogue. When I love my enemy, many times I'm loving myself. I've spent more time than I wish to account for being my own enemy. Haven't you? Haven't you been your own worst enemy? Haven't you been the enemy of your own faith, your own dreams, your own hopes? Sure you have. But then love your enemy, that guy, that gal right there in that mirror, and say, look at you, you courageous little pup, you. Wow. You just dared greatly. Wow. Now let's dust ourselves off and let's learn from this experience And let's grow, but let's keep growing toward love. All right, I'm down to the last 5 minutes, and I'm going to take you back to one essential exercise that I think is vital for everybody listening to do, and that is to breathe. Breathing is the most essential evolutionary one thing every human's got to do all the time, because without breathing, you're not alive. And if you're breathing well, you're going to live well. Seriously. It's just about breathing. In fact, Jesus even said about the Holy Spirit, he's like the breath. He's like the air. He's like the wind. So let's take in just a full lung right now, deep down inside of every centimeter of both of your lungs. Take in a deep breath with me, will you? On the count of three, get a good gulp of fresh air. Right now, one, two, three. In. And exhale. Wow. Now do it again on the count of three. One, two, three. And exhale. If you'll practice that all day long, day in and day out, it'll train you to give yourself some pace. Because if you're going to be a person of unmitigated gall and a lover's leap and have the courage of love, you're going to have to breathe and take a good deep breath once in a while when somebody's attacked you for your love. Or when somebody's accepted your love and they overwhelm you with gratitude. Keep on breathing. You know, it's important. It's so vitally important to understand in this day of time. As I'm recording this, we're in the middle of the edge of the pandemic. Vaccines are getting out there, but the pandemic has gone on now for over a year. We have struggled with our economy as a world, not just a nation. We've struggled with human relationships, and it's important for us to get out there and do something beautiful in the middle of all these struggles, to be a beautiful soul, to be a beautiful person. To be that person that is welcome in any given room. Get out there and do something beautiful. And there's nothing more beautiful than somebody who lives the courageous kind of love I just described. Don't be a person of the ugly, because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death. Let's go out there and do something beautiful. This world's waiting for you. I love you. Find somebody right now and take on the courage. Look them in the eye and say, I love you. You know, that exercise in itself is a lover's leap. It's the courageous act of love. It's the unmitigated gall to push past your own idiosyncrasies and insecurities. If you could see me right now, I'd look you right in the eye and say, I love you. Thanks for being here today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm alive to love. All lesser values are potential BS.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.